20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter, at Andy Herman NFL. Today, we are going to be breaking down day four of Packers training camp and getting you set for day five, which is just the next day in the progression, right? But it is a big day because we officially get our first day of padded practice. We'll go over that as well and sort of what those expectations should be for padded practices moving forward. Before we get there, a couple things really quick. Preseason live Q&A in person, Saturday, August 9th, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Hagemeister Park. Really hope to see you guys there. The draft event was unbelievable. Same scene, same spot at Hagemeister Park. This one's taking place before that first preseason game. You'll still have plenty of time to get over to Packers Jets. I know because I will be getting over there as well. But again, Hagemeister Park, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time, August 9th, right before the Packers' first preseason game at Lambeau Field. Really looking forward to that one. And of course, as always, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Make sure you're getting the automatic downloads wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and make sure you're setting up those notifications on the YouTube channel as well. And while you're at it, check out the Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships and find us over on TikTok. I've been posting a ton of more videos over there, Pack-A-Day Podcast on TikTok. Make sure to check that out as training camp continues to go on. We'll be posting more videos and some pictures from camp over there as well. All right, as I mentioned, day four, Packers training camp in the books. Day five is going to be today on Monday. Day four was incredibly hot. By the way, day five is set for that as well on Monday, but it was an extremely hot practice. And, you know, from a sideline standpoint, I'll just say I am somebody who likes it really, really warm. I do not understand coaching culture in this instance. If you look out on the field, like every coach is in some form of a hooded sweatshirt. And I'm not talking about like the thin shirt hoodies that have like are basically like the consistency of like a long sleeve shirt or a short sleeve shirt, but have the hood attached. No, I'm talking about like full fleece hoodies. Matt LaFleur's got the cutoff hoodie going on with the shirt under. I don't understand it. I really don't. These guys are sweating through this thing. It's remarkable to see. I don't know if this is like just a rite of pass. I don't know if everyone lost a bet. I don't get it. If somebody wants to explain it to me, feel free to go for it. But it is 90 plus degrees out on the field. And like Luke Butkus is wearing this thick, it looks like it's a fleece hooded sweatshirt in 90 degrees. He is just drenched in sweat. And like I said, I love it warm. I wear hooded sweatshirts almost all the time. But this is a step too far. I don't get it, but I digress. That is a completely random observation that, of course, has nothing to do with anything. So let's jump into everything that actually happened of importance at Packers practice on Sunday. Aaron Banks, Amar Johnson, and Savion Williams all returned to practice in some capacity. Amar Johnson seemed to be the furthest along. He was taken off the physically unable to perform list and was a seemingly pretty full participant in practice. He did individual drills. He did team drills. So that was great to see. You know, when it comes to an undrafted free agent, right, a rookie undrafted free agent, a lot of times those type of players, and not like the medical staff are just going to clear him for nothing, right? But those players might try to push it just a little bit more to get back and get going, because Aaron Banks, he's got his spot on the roster, right? There's no reason to rush him back. The Packers don't want to rush him back. They want to make sure he gets his time to recover. He's got a long season ahead of him. For somebody like an Amar Johnson, man, time is ticking already. You want to get ready to make sure that you're ready to go on family night and for those first few preseason games. You're not guaranteed a practice squad spot, and you want to go out there and put your best foot forward, making sure that you're putting tape out there for not just Green Bay, but any other team that wants to check out your footage as well. So this is a one of those scenarios where if you're a Amar Johnson and you are cleared, you're not just going through these like, oh, I want to, you know, kind of ramp up and go through individual drills first. No, you want to get out there as quickly as possible. That's what we saw on Sunday. And then Savion Williams did a little bit of work, individual and some off to the side, but great to see him back practicing after that concussion. I did hear people ask of like, well, how did he get a concussion? And I don't know 1,000,000% for sure. My guess is when he went and laid out from that deep ball from Malik Willis a couple days ago, where he laid out for it and then kind of hit the ground hard, couldn't come up with a catch. That would be my guess as to when Savion Williams came up with that concussion, but I do not know that for sure. And then again, Aaron Banks did some individual work as well, did a little bit of walkthrough stuff, but for the most part, he did not do any sort of team activities whatsoever. Your remaining injured player list includes Quay Walker, Christian Watson, Colin Oliver, John Williams, and Elgton Jenkins. Those are your five Packers that were not practicing in any capacity. The new kicker, the International Pathway Program kicker, McNamee, also was still not out there continuing to work through his visa issue. Your starters on offense, Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs, Matthew Golden and Romeo Doubs, Musgrave and Kraft at tight end, Rashid Walker, Jordan Morgan, Sean Ryan, Jacob Monk at right guard, and then Zach Tom at right tackle. On defense, your basic 4-3 defense right now that they've been running with, Rashawn Gary and LVN at defensive ends, Wyatt and Clark at defensive tackles, Simmons, McDuffie, and Edgerrin Cooper at linebacker, Hobbs and Nixon at corner, and Williams and McKinney at safety. Player of the day for this one was a little bit tough to decide upon. I'm going to go with one that you probably didn't hear much from. I'm going to actually go with Brenton Cox. Brenton Cox, I thought overall, had a really nice day, just consistently being sort of annoying, I would say, to the opposing offensive tackles. But there were two plays in particular that stood out. On a run play by Emmanuel Wilson, where he tried to bounce it outside, Brenton Cox not only kept contained, but kept contained, got into the backfield, and forced a Ben Sims hold on the play. Now, I don't think the refs technically threw a flag. It was as blatant and clear as you could possibly see in that situation. And I think in a real NFL game would have been one of the more clear and obvious calls that you could possibly have in that situation. And then a little bit later, he was working as a pass rusher and forced another holding penalty on that particular play. So he was forcing his way into the backfield, causing some chaos and just some issues both in the run game and in the passing game. Forcing what would have been two holding penalties in an actual game. It was just great to see. We've talked about it's tough to glean too much from the pass rushers. It's almost more impressive, by the way, when you're doing some of this stuff without pads, because you do become a little bit more predictable when it comes along the defensive line, because you cannot bull rush players and there's only certain things that you can do. So if you're making an impact and getting into the backfield and causing plays where would have been a 10-yard penalty, that's good stuff from Brenton Cox. I thought he had a couple of those and held up well against the run pretty much all practice long as well. So really good day for Brenton Cox. There were others in the conversation, but for me, I'm going with Brenton in this situation. Two plays that I would consider plays of the day. The first one was in the 2-minute drill. We'll talk about that in just a moment, give you kind of the full details of it. But first play of the 2-minute drill, the defense showed a double A-gap blitz and then dropped into coverage. And on the second one, they showed a double A-gap blitz and brought major pressure. Now, Isaiah McDuffie got through that line pretty quick. I know some of the writers that, I kind of go out and double check, Paul Bredel, Matt Schneidman, Packers News, I think today's was Pete Doherty, but I didn't actually check the author on it. Paul Bredel, Bill Huber, all those guys checked it. I know a couple of them thought maybe McDuffie was going to be able to get home. I didn't see it well enough to say one way or the other, but I will say this. Jordan did a fantastic job of continuing to backpedal to get himself to a depth where I think he would have got the ball off, but defense brings pressure. McDuffie's coming fast and furious. Love's in shotgun, backpedals back a pretty significant amount to give him, and more specifically, Tucker Kraft time to work his way open in the end zone, finds him, throws the ball, kind of having to fade away because that pressure is coming, throws it up, a perfect ball for Tucker Kraft. When I say throw it up, I'm not talking about some sort of Hail Mary pass here. He hit him really where he needed to hit him. Tucker Kraft boxed out Evan Williams on the play and came down with a gorgeous touchdown. Would have been interesting, again, in the backdrop of this is Matt LaFleur having to talk to Nate Hobbs on Friday's practice because of getting a little bit too aggressive and being asked about it before the start of practice, he said he does not want players going through players to make a play in the secondary. So the play on Friday that happened was there was a throw to Dontavian Wicks over the middle, and Nate Hobbs came through Dontavian Wicks to break up that pass. Maybe early, maybe not. Doesn't really matter in this situation, but that's what Matt LaFleur does not want. So Evan Williams in this one has an interesting choice because the situation was there's no time left. This is basically there's 4 seconds left. So by the time the throw was made, there was no time left on the clock. In that situation, you clearly want to contest the ball so that there's no touchdown. So much so that if you don't think you can contest it without, you know, having to pass interference, you take the pass interference. Put him first and goal on a one play untimed down. That's much better than giving up a touchdown. In this case, you know, Evan Williams, I'm sure maybe in the back of his head's thinking, I can't go through a player. I certainly can't just tackle this guy in the middle of a play. So I think Kraft would have had a touchdown in a real game situation. It was a beautiful play by Kraft and by Love, but I do think Evan Williams would have done a much better job of actually contesting that in a real game rather than what we saw in practice in this given scenario. But beautiful play from Love to Kraft for a touchdown in 2 minutes to get the win. And then the other one, Jaden Reed took an end around and brought it up the field. And I talked about this on the live show. If you're familiar with Jurassic Park, the original, and they're in the car and the T-Rex starts chasing them and they're going fast in the car and they're looking in the rear view mirror and the T-Rex is just there and getting closer and closer and closer. Jaden Reed had that experience. I don't know if he actually saw him from behind. Obviously they don't have Reed doesn't have the benefit of a rear view mirror in that situation, but man, I saw it because the play happened right in front of me and Rashawn Gary is just chasing down Jaden Reed from behind. And it's this almost like a T-Rex sort of experience where this unbelievably huge athlete is chasing and he's gaining on you. Not only that, Gary, an unbelievable effort play, chases it down, gets to Reed, and then karate chops the ball. Ball comes loose. It's a forced fumble. Luckily for Jaden Reed, unfortunately for Rashawn Gary, that ball just goes harmlessly out of bounds. But it was just the sort of play from Rashawn Gary that you're used to getting from him. He's not giving up on the play. He seems extra motivated. I love that moment from Rashawn Gary. I know it doesn't really amount to much because the ball just goes out of bounds anyway, but I love that hustle, that energy, that intensity from Rashawn Gary. So those to me were the two plays of the day, the Love to Kraft touchdown and then the Rashawn Gary forced fumble on Jaden Reed. We'll be right back. As I mentioned, we did see the 2-minute drills make their return. In this situation, it wasn't much of a long 2-minute drill. This was a 12 seconds on the clock or 9 seconds on the clock. First and 10 from the opponent's 12-yard line. And no timeouts. You are down by 6 points. So you're on their 12-yard line. You're trying to punch it in for the touchdown to take the lead. 12 seconds left. Again, down by 6. First and 10 is there, but it doesn't really matter because you're not going to get 4 downs anyway. You probably have 2 plays, right? So the first one up was Malik Willis in the 2s. Malik Willis's opening pass was to Luke Musgrave over the middle of the field, and Musgrave was not able to get in the end zone. In a game, would he have maybe been able to move a pile or do something? Maybe. I think the defense holds him short no matter what. But Willis to Musgrave over the middle, it's complete. It doesn't get in the end zone. The clock ticks and the clock runs out. Looked like the offense was expecting to get another play. I'm not sure why. I don't know if they thought they had a timeout or whatever the case may be, but they did not. And that was it. No forgiveness, no second chance. They did not know or were not aware of the scenario. And they end up losing because they didn't, they weren't extra cognizant of how much time was on the clock, timeouts, etc. So a miss there from the offense, but a nice job by the defense by holding them in the middle of the field and making sure that Musgrave could either not get in the end zone or anywhere near the out of bounds line. The next one is the one we talked about earlier. The first play from Love to Dobbs was basically like a throwaway just to see another down. He kind of put it towards the back of the end zone where it was either going to be Romeo Dobbs or nobody. But it was it went over his head. It fell incomplete. Again, mostly a throwaway in that situation to give yourself that one more opportunity at another play. And that's the one where Love backpedaled, made sure that he had enough distance between the blitz. At least that's what it was called. Threw it up for Tucker Kraft, and Kraft went up and got it and scored the what would have been a game-winning touchdown in that scenario. And then the last one, Sean Clifford hits Sam Brown Jr. along the sidelines, picks up a first down. So it ends up being first and goal from the two, still only about like 6 seconds left. Sean Clifford buys a little bit of time, finds Sam Brown Jr. again in the back of the end zone. This time the touchdown stands and counts, and huge plays for Sam Brown, but also a really nice job from Sean Clifford as well, leading the number threes to a game-winning touchdown. So Willis in the twos could not get it done. Love to Kraft did, and then so did Clifford to Brown on those two instances. All right, so miscellaneous players that stood out, good, bad, or ugly, or indifferent, or whatever, in this particular day. Trey Hill was not a good experience. This was his third snap in 4 days of camp that has been errant and has gotten him taken out of practice, meaning put to the side for a little bit of time before he got that opportunity again. The other two were low dribblers at the feet of the quarterback. This one was well over the head of the quarterback. So tough start to camp for Trey Hill. We'll see if he can kind of calm down and maybe still try to earn himself a practice squad. But if this stuff continues, they might have to look at either moving him to guard or releasing him and picking up another center to take his place. Matthew Golden had a couple nice catches, including a slant in red zone for a touchdown. The beautiful play about that, or the beautiful thing about that play, was that this was another one where Golden just snatched the ball out of midair and was able to pluck it. And it just had that, just has a different sound to it. You know, he's got great hands and it ended up being a touchdown. And then he had another one a little bit later where Jordan Love bought time, and the offensive line did a tremendous job giving Jordan a bunch of time in the pocket. Golden separated from I think it was Valentine at the very last moment, had plenty of space in the end zone. Jordan Love found him and it was a beautiful touchdown from Love to Matthew Golden in that particular situation. So a couple touchdowns from Matthew Golden in the team activities. All right, next up, I want to talk about Jordan Morgan. I don't know how many times I've told you guys that it's not worth keeping an eye on anything in the trenches yet, and you just can't glean a whole heck of a lot, and there's not anything you really need to know, good, bad, or ugly. There is one exception. That one exception is if Larry McCarron on Packers.com specifically finds and locates an offensive lineman that he thinks is you know, having either a great day or great camp and wants to talk about him. And he talked pretty glowingly about Jordan Morgan. So if Rock is impressed by Jordan Morgan so far this year, that's all you need to know. So again, I haven't paid extra close attention to it because the pads haven't been on yet, but apparently Larry McCarron, a big fan of what Jordan Morgan's been doing so far, and that is a very positive sign for the Green Bay Packers. We talked about Sam Brown Jr. coming up, those two big catches, including the first down and then the touchdown right after it. Nasir Stackhouse had a couple really nice run plays. I thought the interior of that defensive line did a really good job of bottling up the run game and not giving anyone a real big opportunity to get going, including Jacobs, Lloyd, etc. Stackhouse was definitely a piece of that. Maybe not against Josh Jacobs. That's usually, you're not usually going threes versus ones, but it was a really good opportunity for him throughout the day to show off some of his run defense capabilities. I thought he did a really great job of it. Jaden Reed. I talked the other day of like, hey, was he even out there? Is he playing in team activities? And I talked to Paul Brettel on the sideline and he's like, I don't know for sure either. And Spoff said he knew like there was like an end around he felt like happened. But either way, he did practice on day four. It was out there in team activities, which again, I think has been the case all the way along. But in this particular practice, he got that end around that we talked about that Rashawn Gary knocked out. There was one play where he got upfield on kind of an ad lib play and Love threw him what looked like a beautiful ball. And Jaden Reed fingertip catch looked like it was a big play, but after you looked at it, it was very clearly out of bounds. So unfortunately that did not count. Everything else up until that point was a beautiful execution, but that's why defensive backs force you to the sideline. There's not much room for completion there. And in this case, the out of bounds marker won, and Jaden Reed could not come up with that play in bounds. Jordan Love on the day was 8 of 13, 3 touchdowns with 1 interception, which we'll talk about in just a moment. Kudos to Bill Huber for those Jordan Love statistics. All right, what else do we got here? Let's go over our top plays for the day. Josh Jacobs got a little bit of a toss play, not much doing, and he made this absolute ridiculous cut in the open field. Got around the player. I forget which player that it was, or I didn't actually see the player that it was, but it was I think it was probably just more in awe of the actual cut itself, but he made a sick cut, got to the outside. I will give the Packers defense a ton of credit because that's one of those where you're probably looking at it and it's like, oh, that, you know, that guy's got Josh Jacobs, but Jacobs makes a sick move. Defense did a great job of rallying and getting to Josh Jacobs so that it wasn't some big gain out of it. But man, was that a sick cut and a clean cut from Josh Jacobs in the open field. Mentioned earlier that Jordan Love had an interception. There was a crossing route coming across the middle of the field, and Kenny Clark got pressure up the middle. Love wanted to get rid of the ball. He sees the crosser coming open, goes to throw it, but Tyron Hopper is chilling right in that zone. Jordan Love never saw it, and Hopper comes up with the easy pick. He's just chilling in that zone, not really doing anything super special, but you still got to find a way to come up with that interception. He did. It was as easy as an interception as he's probably going to get, but still, you know, kudos to Hopper for coming up with that play and the huge interception when given a chance. Edgerrin Cooper, still very fast. He had one of his patented plays where it's a run play and he is basically meeting the running back in the backfield. Now, I think it was Jacobs that was in at running back. Jacobs might have been able to put a move on and bounce before Cooper was able to maybe make a play on it, but it was still, again, just showing off at this point that ridiculous speed for Edgerrin Cooper. Manuel Wilson had a really nice touchdown run in red zone off the right side, running between the behemoth duo of Kadeem Telfort and Travis Glover. So really nice play from Emmanuel Wilson there. LVN beat Rashid Walker on a pass rush for a would-be sack. So good to see LVN kind of stacking days together. Marshawn Lloyd had a halfback draw for a touchdown in red zone activities. And Kamal Haddon had a very nice pass breakup on Romeo Doubs in the very front pylon of the end zone. It's a play that Love and Doubs run a ton. In this case, Haddon was all over it, breaking up that pass for a big play. Some miscellaneous news and notes. Matt LaFleur had very high praise for Kalen King before the start of practice, said he's had a very impressive 3 days of camp so far. As far as coach speak and compliments go, that's about as big as you're going to get at any point from Matt LaFleur in training camp. And so that was a pretty glowing assessment of Kalen King from Matt LaFleur before day four actually took place. Marshawn Lloyd was out at kick returner getting some reps. I love that. I think he has the ability to be very dynamic in that role. We'll see if those opportunities actually come to him in games. I'm hoping we see that maybe a little bit in preseason, but of course you want to make sure you're keeping Marshawn Lloyd healthy as well. And last but not least, of course, as we talked about earlier, padded practice for the first time on Monday. We'll see if they just do uppers or if they do full pads, if there's a ramp up here as well. We'll keep an eye on that, but it is awesome to have padded practices back. And now we get into sort of the real football phase. So what do we need to know about padded practice and what are we going to kind of be watching for? Number one for me is that defensive front and the pressure that they're able to get. It doesn't necessarily indicate that everything's fixed. This Packers defense in camp last year and even going against the Ravens was pretty impressive. It didn't exactly carry over in the regular season, but I do still want to see some additional pressure from this front four on defense because I think that could go a long way in really solidifying this defense and taking that next step. I'm also going to be watching short yardage and goal line. You know, the reason you go out and get Aaron Banks and Anthony Belton and some of these bigger offensive linemen is you want to be able to move people in short yardage situations. Can the offensive line do that? Green Bay defensively doesn't have a, you know, TJ Slayton out there. They should be able to move the players need be to get those first downs and short yardage pickups. But I'll definitely be watching that as the pads come on. Overall intensity. Intensity picks up usually. Pads come on. And I want to see what that looks like. What's the physicality? You know, are players still taking care of each other, but playing with that level of intensity? I think that's what exactly we're going to see, but we'll kind of keep an eye on it come Monday's practice. Live tackling. Matt LaFleur mentioned that we might get some live tackling periods. Basically, not even might. We will get some live tackling periods coming up. Usually that's just like rookies and third stringers at the end of the practice, but either way, we could get some fun actual live tackling portions of training camp coming up with the pads coming back on. So that is exciting in and of itself. Trenches in general, of course, is what you want to watch a little bit more. Those first handful of days plus mini camps and OTAs, you can't really watch anything in the trenches because again, it's not real. Now it's real. So I'll be keeping a much closer eye on the offensive and defensive lines. I think just the standouts in general mean a lot more now. Once the pads come on, it takes on a totally different connotation. So I'm really looking forward to see who raises to the top when now that the pads are coming on and, you know, who's the players that get lost in the shuffle? Who are the players that are ready for it and can really make an impact now that those pads are coming on? One-on-ones, we'll probably see some one-on-ones between offensive linemen and defensive linemen, as well as wide receivers and corners. Looking forward to that. And then when you do get pads on, there can be a little bit more physicality. There's a little bit more thumping. You know, can they stay away from injuries? That's the other big thing. It's great. We want to see the impactful and intense practices, but you got to stay healthy during it. Hopefully that remains the case for Green Bay. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate it. I'll be right back here tomorrow, live right after practice, about 1:30 p.m. Central Time, breaking down everything you need to know and answering your questions in a live Q&A that'll be on the YouTube channel. And I will post that on the audio side as well after. And then, of course, we will have the full breakdown for Monday's practice on Tuesday for you as well. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate it. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkel, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Griff Henblee. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.